Into our third hour. Welcome back, or a tremendous Monday to you. I'm Jim Rome. Having a good day. Really, really good day. Had a couple of excellent interviews. We had Andy Staples in hour number one. I had Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers also in hour one. He was shot out of a cannon. The Chargers have been the biggest topic of the day, believe it or not. I thought the Tennessee would be. And the way they mishandled the Greg Schiano hiring. And they did mishandle the Greg Schiano hiring. He wasn't actually ever hired. They agreed to commit to each other. And then social media got wind. And the whole thing went up in flames. And it could not look any worse. And I laid that out. I can reset that as well. The Chargers have been a big topic because they're playing so well. They were 0-4. Now they're 5-6. And they've set this thing up where they still have a good shot at this thing. They still have a good look at this thing. The schedule is favorable. They're playing great football on both sides of the ball. And Philip Rivers came in. And the last several times he's come on this show in the last several years, he shows up the same way regardless of what's going on. Regardless of how they're playing, regardless of whether they're going to move or not, he's always shot out of a cannon. He's always got this heat, this fire. And so the question was posed to him. You show up like this every single Sunday regardless, but is there even more heat, even more intensity, and even more fire for a game on Thanksgiving against the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, I don't know that it could have gone much better than that. I mean, it was a game that I know a lot of my teammates as well. I circled when you saw the schedule come out. You get to play on Thanksgiving Day at Dallas. It doesn't get much bigger than that in a regular season. We'd been looking forward to that one. And then the fact that we had started to turn it around, starting 0-4 and dug ourselves a huge hole. And then we won five of our last seven going to Dallas on Thanksgiving. We knew that was a big game before coming home to Cleveland and Washington, trying to dig ourselves back in this AFC West hunt. And it was just an all-around team win. The defense played well. Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, and the offense had a big day. The guys up front, now that's two consecutive games without giving up a sack. We just put it all together, and it certainly felt good. You're right, we have turned the page, but that was a special one on Thursday.
You said we're trying to get back in the AFC West hunt. Well, they're back in the hunt, all right. They're a game back, and they're clearly the best team in that division, have been for the last few weeks, and one of the best teams in the AFC. So that was Philip Rivers, who we had on in hour number one. Big week for UCLA. I said last week, if you're going to fire Jim Mora, if you're going to fire him and scratch the check, the big check for a buyout, something that UCLA traditionally does not do, then you better get Chip Kelly. But then again, just because you fire Jim Mora and you scratch that check, especially when he's got other opportunities and he is the hot candidate, especially when Florida was coming as hard for him as they were. So UCLA knew that. They knew what they were up against. Now, maybe UCLA had some intel that Kelly was leaning towards them. Maybe they just made a better pitch to Kelly than the Gators did. Maybe it was both. Maybe Chip Kelly decided that Westwood made more sense for him than Gainesville, which was my take going in. Either way, UCLA takes potentially one of the biggest swings ever in getting Chip Kelly. I love that move. And this is a big Jim Mora house. But it's hard to deny that UCLA in college football overall didn't get a whole lot more interesting with Chip Kelly coming to town. And of course, Westwood is a better fit for him than Gainesville. The last thing he wants is for everybody to look at him, get up in his business, get up in his grill. I mean, that fishbowl existence is just not this dude's deal. And that's what he would have gotten had he gone there. Not here. In a town like this, you can get lost pretty easily. Just the way he likes it. And he returns to a conference that he previously dominated. So that's brilliant for UCLA. That's a huge swing. A big swing. And it's not the way they do things there. And they got it done. And we'll see now. See, one thing about Chip Kelly is when he was at Oregon and killing it at Oregon, he was doing things offensively that had not been done before. Doing things that defenses had not seen before and couldn't adjust to. Well, now they've seen it. Now they have adjusted. And now he's back in the college ranks. And the question is, can he adjust back? I'm assuming he can. That's a brilliant offensive mind. Is he going to be able to do for UCLA what he did for Oregon? Probably doesn't have to. What he needs to do is stop the bleeding, beat USC, win the conference, and show up on the big stage and play their best. things that UCLA has not done in recent years but should be able to do under Chip Kelly. So there's a lot of excitement about that hire. That's a big, big swing that they beat Florida out for Chip Kelly. This email says, Rome, finally, UCLA actually looks like it's going to put football up as a priority. As much as I love Jim Mora, I love that they were able to go out and steal the guy that they wanted away from an SEC school. All hail Chip. And maybe, just maybe, UCLA can beat Stanford and SUC and make a playoff appearance. Signed, Matt in Poland Springs. That's pretty much where I come out. Listen, Jim Mora did what they brought him in to do. He upped their profile. He got an improvement in their facilities. He won some big games. He got people to pay attention to them. He got them back on the big stage. Unfortunately for him, he did it in his first 3 years, not his last three. And that ultimately cost him his job, because in the end, he couldn't beat SC, couldn't win those big games. The games that they brought him in to win. But he did so initially, and he did up their profile, and he improved their recruiting, and he improved their facilities. So Chip Kelly's walking into a really nice situation. Obviously, he chose that situation over Florida. And you're right, UCLA did beat out an SEC power. It's a better fit for this guy. And by the way, Florida's getting a hell of a coach. Florida's going to be fine. UCLA's going to be fine. It's a better fit for Chip Kelly. He did the right thing. He knows this conference. He wants to be on the West Coast. And it's not that fishbowl existence that he really doesn't want. It makes a lot of sense. I'm really eager to see what he can do here. Looking for a telephone call. Keep the streak going. Also, huge week here in the jungle. It's a huge week to kick off a huge month that's going to wind down a huge year. And I know better than anybody that the biggest topic on this show is the show itself. So let me tell you what's going on this week. We've got business as usual. We've got the five shows, and we have our weekly podcast. I'm going to track down Rockets GM Daryl Morey after the show today. Then on top of that, we have been packing up and getting out of the place that we've called home for more than a decade. The same studio that left bum-rushed on more than one occasion. The move is going to take place this week. So we're going to drop a podcast. And while we're doing that, we're going to start hauling things over to our brand new spot. And again, we have a new spot because the show is coming to television on January 2nd on CBS Sports Network. So we're going to start doing this show from the new studio sooner than later, and then we'll be on TV on January 2nd. And the whole thing's going to be pretty crazy, but awesome. And when you look back on the year that we've had, this has been one of our greatest years ever. We televised five shows from the Super Bowl, televised them. We did our first ever Sunday Super Bowl pregame show. I had never done that in my career, and we're thinking about whether or not to do that again in Minneapolis. We had arguably our best smack off ever. We launched a podcast that has been in and out of the top five on iTunes since day one. We blew the jungle up with the one-off to end all one-offs, Romageddon. We announced a TV simulcast. We built a new studio that we're going to move into this week. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll do a proper look back at all of 2017 with the year in review. Like I said, it's been an amazing 2017. And with only a month left, the biggest stuff hasn't even happened yet. So not only are we not limping to the finish, we are full on sprinting. And I've had a blast doing another season on the NFL on CBS. And I'll be back there on Sunday. So I thought you'd appreciate the update. And now you know what's ahead for me and the crew and the jungle this week and the month following. Lots to get done. Let's get after it. Because if you know one thing about this show, we're not going to mail it in, regardless of what's going on off the air. So I'm going to ask you to make the same commitment, right? Ask not what I can do for you. Ask yourself what you can do for the jungle. Step your games up. Keep it in San Diego. Spent a lot of time in San Diego this morning. Mark in San Diego, you are next. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jim. First time, long time. I just wanted to call and represent San Diego a little bit. I felt like we've been taking it on the nose here. I wanted to say that Dean had Southern California to himself for 20 years and did nothing with it. The man still didn't find a stadium resolution. He's going to be renting from Stan Kroenke. So let's not act like he got it together and got a stadium going in Los Angeles. Here in San Diego, my best buddy's still with the team. I'm not. And I don't know. We here in San Diego, it's a civil war right now, Jim, and it's either you're with the Chargers or not. I personally am not. I love Phillip Rivers, loved your interview. I love the fact that he reported his concussion. I wish nothing but well for Phillip Rivers, but not the Chargers. I just wanted to make that clear that Dean is a weasel, and he'll never be allowed to step foot here in San Diego again.
You got it. All right, Mark, thank you. Dean's a weasel, and he'll never be allowed to step foot in San Diego again. Yeah, deep down, I'm not sure he really cares. He got what he wanted. He wanted to move to L.A. The second he moved to L.A., the value of that franchise compounded exponentially, even if he is a renter and he has to share that stadium. And he would argue, look, I did everything I could to stay here. Charger fans are going to say, come on, that's bull crap. He did not do everything he could to stay here. So we go round and round on that. And that's the second San Diego fan, I think, to call this morning and use that phrase. Round and round. Well, not that phrase, Alvy. Why is it that whenever somebody says round and round, you play that song? Like, I know there's some inside jokes that even I don't get. But, Alvin, it seems like those of you on the other side of the glass have your own inside jokes. Why is it that whenever I, and that was just totally inadvertent, I don't know why I said that, it just kind of came out. But why is it that if I ever say that or a caller says round and round, you play that song? Why? That is the second Charger fan to say there's a civil war going down here. Those of us who still like the Chargers and those who want nothing to do with it. It's a civil war. So in the meantime, they're up here in LA / Carson playing lights out. But back down there, about a mile to the south or an hour to the south, there's a, quote, civil war. He mentioned what Phillip Rivers said about going into concussion protocol. I thought that was really interesting. I asked him, what was it like to self-report, and then what was the entire experience like?
It was scary. I mean, it really was. I wrestled with the whole self-reporting, to be honest with you, because I just never felt that way before. You know, I think you've heard the old bell rung phrase that gets so used by all athletes, especially in our sport. And I think I can say that that has certainly happened. But I never felt the way I felt before. I don't really know any way to describe it. I was visiting my wife, and just where I was, I go, why not? You know, yeah, you're essentially taking it out of your hands. Certainly, I've been thankful to be out there for 190 in a row or whatever it is. But I just said, gosh, it's just I would rather report, be able to knock out all the tests all week, and then trot out there feeling safe and confident, and allow my wife and family to feel confident that I'm okay, than to say, take it in my own hands, I'm fine, and talk myself into being fine, and then let's say something else pops up a week or two later, and then I'm backtracking and going, well, I didn't feel right after that Jacksonville game either. You know, then you're really in a bind, and who knows what happens there. So I just, from the neck down, I feel like I'm pretty reckless and willing to pretty much do anything, but I'd never felt that way, and it was a little scary for me. I'm thankful that, you know, when I told some people, they go, that's the first time you felt like that. I go, yeah, it is. So I'm thankful that I haven't dealt with what maybe many guys have had to deal with. But I went the cautious and safe route. And thankfully, everything was good, and I felt great the last 2 weeks.
Phillip Rivers on this show in hour number one earlier today. Phillip Rivers is still a great player. Phillip Rivers is a great leader. Phillip Rivers is a great teammate. And believe me, as a talk show host, I can tell you, Phillip Rivers is a great interview. Great conversation. Always has been. So that's why I've reset that a couple of times in the event that you missed that conversation back in hour one. This guy writes on email, Vance Mack Gillett. I would love nothing more than to see Phillip Rivers and the Chargers leapfrog Buffalo for the final playoff spot in the AFC and rip the collective hearts of the entire Bills Mafia. Buffalo's 17-year playoff drought continuing is far more important than the Browns going winless this year. War me landing in the States in 8 days after 3 years in Germany. Unwar anyone who wars the Bills Mafia. Signed, Jesse in Konkin, Germany. My man, Jesse, don't you come home if you don't have anybody to take your spot in Konkin. I love that we have a listener in Germany. You're my man. You're my man, Jess. I mean, I'd love for you to come home, and you probably are ready to come home, except I can't have that unless you've got somebody taking your spot. I always look forward to that email from Conk in Germany. He brings up something pretty interesting. What's more important, the Bills' 17-year playoff drought continuing or the Browns going winless? Hell, the Browns have been to the playoffs since the Bills have been to the playoffs, if you can believe that. If it's up to me, I'd much rather see the Browns run the table backwards. It's not to say that I don't like the Browns, but I feel for the Bills Mafia. And right when it looked like they had it, they're 5-2, they're playing great, and then all of a sudden they're not playing well, and then Sean McDermott rips Tyrod Taylor and replaces him with a fifth-round draft pick from Pittsburgh, and it couldn't have gone any worse, Nate Peterman. But then they went back to Tyrod Taylor. And what a tribute to him. The Bills have made it perfectly clear they don't want anything to do with this guy. They can't get rid of him soon enough, and yet he keeps his head and he goes out there and he keeps their playoff hopes alive. Which begs the question, what the hell were you getting taking him out of the game for to begin with? You can argue all you want, and by the way, I wouldn't even disagree. He's not their quarterback of the future. He's not their franchise quarterback. But is there really anybody anywhere who'd argue that Tyrod Taylor is not better than Nate Peterman? How does the guy who knows more about that team than anybody not know that? So the fact that McDermott went back to him, Taylor, and he played well enough to win, that to me makes him look even worse. Like, why were you messing with that in the first place? But they are still alive. Pretty much everybody in the AFC is, except for the Browns. And even they were as recently as yesterday, and they haven't won yet. Everybody in the AFC is still alive. When we come back, I do want to talk Ohio State and Michigan.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Ohio State 31, Michigan 20. Ohio State wins. It's not news. It's not news that Jim Harbaugh failed to beat Ohio State. He's 0-3 in that regard. It's not news that Harbaugh lost a rivalry game. He's 1-5 in those. 0-3 against Ohio State. 1-5 in rivalry games. It's not news that he lost as an underdog. He's 0-6. In his last six games as a dog. It's not news that he lost a game to a top 10 team. He's 1-7 against those. I mean, Michigan fan, if we're anybody other than this guy, can you imagine if Brady Hoke had those numbers? Or anybody, Rich Rod, or anybody that you were coming so hard for? I mean, those are pretty deplorable numbers. 0-3, 1-5, 0-6, 1-7. Those numbers are all in games that he was hired to win. That's why you bring him in, to win those games. But then again, it's not news. It'll be news when he actually does beat Ohio State or win a big game or live up to the hype. At this point, not only is it not news, it's really barely interesting at all. It's old, it's tired, because it's the same thing over and over again. I'm not even sure that Michigan fans could be bothered to get angry or upset at their coach over this. Because it's so predictable. They're used to it. Even Michigan fan knows it's going to happen to Harbaugh and to them. I mean, maybe it's news, maybe, that Ohio State had to come back from 14 down to win that game. For the first time in the 120-year history of that rivalry. Maybe that part of it's newsworthy. But it's not surprising. Deep down, even with that lead, Michigan fans knew how that was going to end. Because that's how it's ended nearly every time for nearly a decade and a half. And that's how it's ended every time since Harbaugh came back to Ann Arbor. Honestly, I'm not even sure that I should be talking about this. Because here we are at the end of his third regular season, and he's 8-4 and in fourth place in the Big Ten East. They're one spot ahead of Rutgers in the Big Ten East. And you don't hear me rolling in on a Monday to talk Rutgers football. So why am I talking about this? Pretty much obviously, they did not pay Harbaugh crazy money to battle with the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers for positioning in the division. If Michigan wanted fourth place, they would have stuck with Brady Hoke. But they didn't. They wanted bigger. They wanted better. They're just not getting it. Don't get me wrong. Michigan deserves to aim high and want more. They should want to be a part of the college football playoff discussion. Instead, they're part of the Music City Bowl discussion. They want to be battling for a top four spot in the nation, not a top four spot in the Big Ten East. But that's where they are. So Harbaugh's delivered clickbait. He's delivered headlines, but not wins and trophies. But then again, it's not news. This was the story after he lost to Michigan State earlier this season and Ohio State last season. Just like it's not news that he doesn't have a quarterback despite being a former quarterback himself and allegedly a great recruiter. And no, I don't want to hear from you Wolverine fans about Michigan's quarterback situation and that it wasn't Harbaugh's fault, that he dialed up and called a brilliant game, but he had to go with a backup. Ohio State just beat you with their backup, Dwayne Haskins, playing most of the second half after JT Barrett got hurt. So the issue was not with John O'Korn throwing one of the all-time worst interceptions that you'll ever see, although it was terrible. The issue is that John O'Korn was in there in the first place. We're in year three of the reign of Harbaugh, and he still doesn't have a quarterback. But that's not news either. Just like it's not news that Urban Meyer beats Michigan, he's 6-0 against them, or that Ohio State beat Michigan because they've done that every time but once in the last 14 years. At this point, it's not even surprising that Michigan managed to turn a double-digit lead into a double-digit loss to their biggest rival at the Big House. Harbaugh was hired to win these games, not blow them, but he did. But you know what? It's not even news. It's not even news, so I'm not going to waste any time on it. Just not news. Got one last segment left. What do you want to do with it? We can talk about the college football weekend that was. We could talk about the Rams getting over on New Orleans. We can reset Tennessee. What do you want to hit on? Any team, any topic. It's been a great phone day. 1-800-636-8686. I'm looking for an ATP, the Ask the Pros. Ask me anything you want about anything you want. I'm going to tape Daryl Morey, Rockets GM. Obviously way out in front of the analytical movement. And the Rockets are playing great. They have not been healthy, but a couple of times this year, and they are playing great ball so far. And they're still gelling. They're still coming together. So that's going to drop tomorrow, episode 15. Huge week for the Jungle. Coming to the end of another big, big year. If it sounds like I'm hyped, it's because I am. Can't wait for 2018, too. All right, when we come back, one last segment and more phone calls, but first, a sports update. Here's the latest. Check out this tweet at 512Lumber. You think Jim Harbaugh, being a QB himself, would have that QB situation in check? Signed, John Elway. Wore Matt in L.A. Don't be a troll. You're not warring Matt in L.A. You know you're not. Thank you to John Elway. He's right, though. John Elway, unlike Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh was a damn good NFL quarterback. He really was. A really good NFL quarterback, but not a Hall of Famer. John Elway was a Hall of Famer. But two really good NFL quarterbacks are responsible for situating their quarterbacks in their respective positions, and they can't do it, either one of them. In fact, is there anybody anywhere having more trouble with their quarterbacks than those two guys who played quarterback? Makes no sense at all. The ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, obviously, from choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you get your car in fighting shape for the cold weather ahead. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So this guy played it right. He picked up on a topic on the program, and he went with it. Sergio in Irvine. Jimmo's. How many times have you moved to different studios over the life of the show? That's a really interesting question. All right, let me try and think about this for a minute. So I got my first big break in December of 1990. got a job in San Diego at 6:90 a.m. And I was doing a night show, and the night show did well, but this station 690 had this unbelievable signal. It was a 50,000-watt blowtorch, and literally this signal would blow all the way up the coast. I mean, the station originated in San Diego, but the signal, well, to give you an example, when I lived in Santa Barbara, which was probably, I don't know, 4 hours from San Diego, depending on how you hit traffic, you could get that signal clear as day. And that thing would go all the way up the coast, like almost as far as San Francisco on a good night. Huge. So they want to take advantage of that, and they want to make it more of a regional station as opposed to a San Diego station so they could sell advertising in Los Angeles. That was a big, big deal. So they took me, and they moved me to L.A., but they did not move me to a studio. They moved me to a restaurant. They had me doing a show from 7 to 12 at night in a restaurant. It was Legends Sports Bar. But they not only had me doing the show, they didn't set it up as a remote. So when you think about a radio program now in a restaurant, you think about it as a remote. Everybody knows you're there. They promote it as such. You bring guests there. You bring listeners there. But that's not what they did. It's the damnedest thing ever, maybe my whole career. So they had me up there in the corner of this restaurant doing a show, and they didn't tell anybody, and they didn't set it up. And I'm there like an idiot in the corner, and I can't even hear myself. And I'm doing 5 hours a night, all right? But I'm a young guy. I got my first big break. I don't want to make waves. So I try it for a few weeks, and it's a disaster, right? Like, I don't even have, like, a table. I'm, like, on the corner of some stage somewhere without a table, just sitting there, trying to interview athletes, trying to take telephone calls. It was a freaking disaster. So I call down to this engineer, a corporate engineer, no names mentioned. And I'm like, hey, listen, I got a real problem. I can't hear myself. I can't hear anything over this bar. It's really loud, and they're not piping it in. They're not playing the show in the bar. You just have me in a bar so you can tell advertisers that I'm in LA, but nobody knows or cares, and I can't hear myself. And this guy goes, I got an idea. I'm a pilot. All right, so I'm going to give you these earphones that pilots wear that block out all the noise. You jam them in your ears. This guy sends me these 1990 version airline pilot headphones. And man, these things hurt like hell. They hurt like hell, and I can hear even less. So this thing's getting worse. Now I'm developing a pretty bad attitude because it's the worst idea ever. And I don't know why nobody doesn't know. So I'm calling down to the program director. I'm like, listen, man, this is terrible. You got to do something. Actually, that's not even true. Nobody was returning the phone call. I'm just up there drowning. My dream job, going to hell. One night, for whatever reason, the then PD, Howard Friedman, is listening to the show. And he's like, what the hell are we doing with our night guy in LA? That sounds like garbage. That sounds like crap. He gets on the phone. He says to me, get your ass back down here. Move back to San Diego. I'm like, hell yes. Be there tomorrow. This guy saved me. So in terms of the studio switches, that was the first big move, but it wasn't to a studio. It was to a restaurant that nobody even knew I was broadcasting from. Terrible, man. From there, I came back to San Diego. Then I believe they moved me back to LA. So I did a show from the CNN building in LA for a while. Pretty grimy. I was right in the middle of it, so that was good. Let me think. Ah, okay, all right. So then we went. I hate to admit, it's getting fuzzy. I'm going to have to probably check with Stucknut for this. Here are some of the other studios that I work from in LA. The CNN building on the 14th or 16th floor. Then I went to the Fallbrook Mall. I broadcast from a mall in a studio high atop hot dog on a stick. There's one right there. Silk Bra. Best studio was hot dog on a stick. I broadcast from high atop hot dog on a stick, bra. So we did it there. Where else did we work? What other studios? Then we went to Sherman Oaks, and I did the show on Ventura Boulevard in my previous employer's studio, and I did that for quite some time. Then we moved the show south because my family's south, and we've been in this studio that I'm in right now. I know it's confusing and very convoluted. This studio was not done when we moved, but we had to move to get our kids in school, so we worked in a temporary studio in the same building until this studio that I'm in right now, which was state-of-the-art and still is, other than the stuff that's falling apart. And then I've been here for 10 years. So if you're keeping score, I went from San Diego, 690, to Legend Sports Bar, back to San Diego, to CNN's building in downtown LA or around there, to High Atop Hot Dog on a Stick, to Ventura Boulevard, to about an hour south. I think that'll cover it. Right, Albie? Is that true? All right, so Albie says, actually, I had three studios in Ventura Boulevard. I don't think so. I had two. I had one big studio, which I shared with some others. And then did they not build us one? I moved a couple of doors down, and I was next door neighbors with Dr. Laura. I've had a run now, man. I've had some good things. Sergio, good question, bro. I don't think that's true, Albie. Albie says Dr. Dean Adele would follow me in the studio. I don't think. I guess it's true. Alvin says, I used to work on that show, bro. Trust me, he was there. Why did I never see the doc? Okay, he didn't come right after me. Michael Reagan and I shared a studio to start. Dr. Laura didn't have to share a studio. She was a very big deal. But I shared, my studio was next to hers. Hers was much bigger and much grander and much nicer. Granted, she made a lot more money than I did for the company. Am I forgetting any studios? Of course, I had my studio in Santa Barbara. KTMS, 1250 AM. But that was like the only studio. We all shared that studio. Everybody worked out of that same studio. Sergio, I don't think I've ever worked so hard or so long to answer one question on ATP. That's how you do it, brother. My man, Sergio. And for that, Sergio, you know what you win? Nothing. But we got almost a whole segment out of the ATP. That's pretty strong. Good job, good effort, Sergio. Twitter contest brought to you today by Castrol Edge. Why pay more for annual protection motor oil when you can get Castrol Edge extended performance for less? Goes 15,000 miles between oil changes. Titanium strong Castrol Edge. It's more than just an oil. It's liquid engineering. You know what? Now that I think about it too, big, big, big shout out to anybody listening or anybody affiliated with the college radio station on the campus of UC Santa Barbara, KCSB. The first radio studio that I ever worked out of, which was inside of Stork Plaza. You gauchos know Stork Plaza. My first ever gig, 2 to 6 a.m., spinning records. And there were records back in the day. And one more station, that doesn't count as a studio, I guess. Lots of other stations that I worked at. And weird things happened in the middle of the night, boy. Got into some trouble in the middle of the night. The overnights were pretty harsh. Let's see. It's been such a good day on the phones. Let's take one more shot. Let's go to Joe in Cleveland. Joe, you made it in. Right at the end. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Jimmo's, thanks for the vine. Hey, I'm from Cleveland, and we took the trip up to the Big House this weekend. And just walking into the stadium, all the fans are like, how much are we going to lose by, 30, 40? I'm like, how can you guys think like this? I mean, this is a rivalry. Anything could happen. And I'm shocked. And I'm like, anything could happen. And in Michigan, they're just ruining the rivalry because they suck so bad. It's depressing. And I'm an Ohio State fan. I would have taken a loss to bring the rivalry back. It's that bad.
Got to rack him. He's right. It's not a rivalry if one team wins every single year. This guy just said, it's like the most insulting thing you could possibly say. It's not even fun. It's not even interesting. We don't even care anymore. But wasn't that the whole gist of my take? It's not news. It's not news because it keeps happening. And even worse than not being news, it's not interesting anymore. I mean, I thought Harbaugh was the guy not only to bring back to win these games, but to make this thing great once again, to make it interesting once again. It's even less interesting now than it was before he got hired. Because they're doing even worse. I guess $9 million a year does not buy you what it used to. 31-20, Ohio State. Down 14 on the road against their rival, and they come back to win again, and they did it with a backup quarterback. So I don't want to hear Michigan about how Coach dialed up a great game plan. Coach called a great game. It's not his fault. It's the backup quarterback. Yeah, except that the other guy beat you with their backup quarterback. Again, these numbers are absolutely incredible. 0-3 against Ohio State, 1-5 in a rivalry game, 0-6 as an underdog, 1-7 against the top 10. They did not bring this guy in to finish in fourth place in the Big Ten East. They're supposed to be battling Ohio State, not Rutgers. Rome, Tennessee is looking good. Give that organization another 10 to 20 years, and it's really going to get somewhere. Sincerely, soccer in the United States. Tony in Albuquerque. Come on, man. Warhawk bringing a hot pocket casserole to Thanksgiving. Is that what you did? That's not a good email. That should not have seen the light of day. Got to get to a huge call. What do you do? Now, today, because we had so many calls racked, Alvin, what do we do for the huge call of the day when we had so many that did get racked?
You know, back in election months, back in November, Spanos gave y'all a shot to keep the team with that city funding vote. 30% is sad, man. That was more sad than 4-12 and 5-11. You know what? I'm glad he ripped the team from you guys.
L.A. fans are going to be better than San Diego fans. Yeah, they got a great track record of showing up late, leaving early to the teams that they're so loyal to.
The Raiders suck and the Chargers do still rule. Gene Klein would be rolling in his grave right now if he understood what's going on. The Chargers are going to win out. We might lose in the first round of the playoffs. So how can you be upset as San Diego fans that he decided to pull the team and move away? Now you guys want to burn jerseys? Now you guys want to be fans? All of a sudden, where were you at when 1-15, 3-13 season? We were absolutely terrible.
And the Spanoses are still rats. You know, they're still kooks.
I love clones. I am a clone. The war mat in L.A. and unwar people who don't war mat in L.A.
Chargers rule. Raiders suck. Good night, Al.
Boom. Hey. Out of here.
So given that choice, how do you pick one? You don't. You pick four racked San Diego calls. Nice job, clones. Did a good job today. My thanks to Philip Rivers, L.A. Chargers quarterback, Andy Staples, SI, college football reporter. Both of them nailed their jobs. I want to thank you, clones. You nailed your job. I'm going to go talk to Daryl Morey for tomorrow's podcast, episode 15, and we'll see you right back here then. We're out.